We are here at the 2013 Farm Progress Show. With me is Congressman John Shimkus from Illinois. What district do you cover, John?
I represent the 15th district, which is about a third of the state of Illinois, 33 counties out of 102. And this location is not in my district, but it's really close.
What are you doing here today?
Well, I met with Congressman Davis with both of our ag advisory committees. He has one, I have one. We talked ag policy for about an hour with our producers who showed up. And then we're stopping by to talk to you.
No, it's great. Well, of course, probably the main issue with everybody right now is the farm bill and what's going to happen at this point. Because we lost the comprehensive farm bill. We've passed the farm-only portion of it. And supposedly when you get back, we're going to do something with nutrition, right? So tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are of what happened with the farm bill in the House.
Well, I mean, what happened was is that I think two things. One is that a lot of the different groups and all the amendments made a point where people focused on the amendments and forgot about passage. So when a couple amendments passed that kind of surprised people, it gave the Democrats an excuse to walk away. We didn't have the votes, and it failed. Having said that, you know, all's not lost. I've been involved in public policy and seeing bills for many years. The House came back with a farm-only bill, passed that, which I thought, okay, now we're going to go to conference. I think the leadership and also just from a negotiating position, they want to make sure that we have on record the food and nutrition aspect so we get the reforms that I think that people in my district talk about all the time. And the only way you do that successfully is by having a position that's been passed. Now, it's going to be tough. It's going to be $40 billion and major reforms. People understand the reforms. Can't have states waive the job looking requirement and other aspects which you probably know full well of. So once we do that, I do believe they'll both go to conference. And then Chairman Lucas and Debbie Stabenow, who was my House classmate before she got elected to Senate, I think they'll kind of work their magic and, you know, pass by simple majority once it gets the conference report gets signed. And I think we'll have a long-term farm bill extension.
Has it been a frustrating process for you?
Legislating is a frustrating process. So if you don't like frustration, you know, don't be in this aspect. You know, I love the House representatives, and I'm very blessed by people who will let me do this job. And I never apologize. I mean, you think someone from Oakland, California is going to have the same views as us in Southern Illinois? The answer is absolutely not. But we have to somehow craft a public policy that gets the majority of votes in this country. So it's never easy. It's always challenging. People are well-intentioned for the most part, almost every issue. The system still works, even though a lot of people think it's broken.
Okay, well, let's talk about the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard, under major attack. It's been under attack since, you know, for years, every you know, all the time. But really, it seems like it's been stepped up. This is one of your specialties, I guess. So what do you think about what's happened right now in the RFS? Are we going to be able to keep it?
And the benefit for me is I've been in this debate almost from the beginning, even though I ran in 92, didn't win. But it starts with the Clean Air Act. And sometimes you got to talk through some of these new members, just the whole history. But putting that aside and where we're at today, it is under attack. And it's under attack using high gas prices. And the folks who are attacking it are trying to do two things. They say they see a limited supply. They see a drought. They see higher corn prices. They equate that to high gas prices or high feed prices. And so that's kind of where we're at. The reality is the 2007 bill, which was passed and signed into law, remember Democrat-controlled House and Senate, Democrat and Republican president, was not a good bill. In that it in essence, legislators said there would be this supply, which never materialized. And because of that, we have this mechanism to identify what's being put into the market called a RIN, and there's volatility in that RIN pricing. And that volatility is enough to get my friends who represent major refineries, and I have two of them myself, to say this market's distorted and we've got to fix this. So I think what we're trying to do is, I don't think we're going to try to fix the volatility of the RINs so that people can plan and people don't get freaked out about 4 cents to a dollar. But the RFS is not going away. The major corn producers and that $15 billion gallon mark is still going to be there. We're really going to try to continue to send a signal, I think, on next generation, so that the people who have invested can still do that. We're just going to try to ease the volatility aspect, and I think we're going to get there. Now, whether the Senate decide, I tell people we have to have a good product, otherwise the Senate won't even do anything, and that's the worst thing for the major refiners, is that really do nothing.
So you would like to see some changes in the law itself, or do you think that EPA can, you know, do things to adjust the RINs and the problems that we have?
EPA has tried. They've actually helped by their last ruling on the 2013 standards, but if you even look at that, they're still way off on what's actually being produced versus what they say needs to be in the market. So I think we can help the EPA by refining the language. So I think that's kind of a direction we'll go.
Are you getting pushback from the corn growers and the ethanol producers on that? Did they not want it changed at all?
Well, our last committee hearing, I kind of weighed into both sides because I've got corn growers, I've got refiners, renewable refiners, and I've got the petroleum refiners. And I said, come on, guys, get off your high horses. Let's find out where we can work. And I think we're spending the month of August doing that, both throughout the district and also in Washington. So I don't think everybody's going to be happy, but I don't think they're going to be angry. I think they know that volatility is an issue. Whether it, you know, this volatility, whether you believe it or not, it's enough for the people who aren't really zoned in on this pump to say, oh, there is a problem. So I think if we can ease that, I think that's going to be helpful to everybody.
So you think a legislative fix, though, is necessary?
Well, I think the House, we will move something to address the volatility. Whether the Senate looks at it and says, yeah, there's something we can do, or how much they might change it, I can't really speak. They are going to have a hearing on the RFS, I think, in September. They announced right before we left on break. I'm not sure the parameters of that, but I tell my crude oil refiners, friends of mine, I've got two big ones, and they remind me about that, is that, you know, worst thing for them is we do nothing. So they need to be cheering for us to have some success. Otherwise, they're going to be frustrated with the lack of movement, and we'll be banging our heads against the wall, and that's what we're trying to stop.
I know there's other people waiting for you, Congressman. I appreciate your time, and it's good to meet you here at the 2013 Farm Progress Show.